Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. The recent visit of Haile Selassie to this country came at a time when his Ethiopian Christian Commonwealth finds itself encircled by hostile Muslim neighbors. Selassie, whose official title is Conquering Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Elect of God, Emperor of Ethiopia, may be little in stature, but he is Africa's number one elder statesman. His Majesty addressed the World Congress on Evangelism in Berlin last October, calling attention to man's efforts to build a world without God, which he compared to the erecting of the Tower of Babel, which met with failure. Inquired Selassie, why did the efforts of those who tried to build the Tower of Babel come to nothing? Was it not because they tried to live apart from their Creator, and because, vaunting themselves in their wisdom, they tried to build a tower whose top was to reach into heaven and thus make a name for themselves? Well, similarly noted His Majesty from Ethiopia, it is our conviction that all the activities of men which are not guided by the Spirit and counsel of God will bear no lasting fruit. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, "What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Wise words of wisdom quoted by Haile Selassie, Emperor of Ethiopia, at the World Congress on Evangelism.
It's time for today's news interview.
Our guest today is Bishop Henry Ginder of Mannheim, Pennsylvania, associated with the Brethren in Christ denomination. Well, Brother Ginder, you've traveled extensively. What do you consider to be the highlight of your travels?
As I recall, my experiences of travel abroad in the mission fields of the world and sharing with several Youth for Christ world conferences, I believe that now the highlight of my world travels is the World Congress on Evangelism held in Berlin.
Well, now, just what impressed you most about this Berlin conference?
In the first place, it was the most global experience I ever had. People were gathered together from 104 nations. In the second place, the type of leadership, evangelical leadership, leadership with interest in evangelism. The Great Commission was the premise from which we started.
Was there anything unusual about the conference that perhaps you'd like to relate to us?
The conference was dynamic. It was potent as far as evangelism is concerned. This was felt by people who were in attendance, who were not Christians, people of the press who were not Christians felt this. I think that the inspirational peak of the Congress was the testimony of the Akha Indian Brethren, these men who were involved in the martyrdom of five missionaries 11 years ago now this last January. Mm-hmm. And to see them there, knowing they're now saved, and knowing that they are giving spiritual and church leadership to their group, and knowing that they're also giving an evangelistic ministry to what they call the down-the-river people, now to have these men with Miss Rachel Saint of Wycliffe Translators as their interpreter, to have them there and give a testimony, this was the inspirational peak. Of course, there's a lot I could say about this, as you might know, if I would want to tell the account.
Do you have any indication that persecution continues for the church behind the Iron Curtain?
I'm very sure that it does. And one of the men, an Anglican churchman from the Orient, made statement that history supports the fact that the church weakens in prosperity and strengthens in persecution. And he said that he believes that the Holy Spirit in a sovereign way is developing a strong church behind the curtains and the walls that divide our world. He said he would not be surprised if from behind these curtains, if the coming of the Lord would be delayed a few years, that the curtains may lift to some extent again and a church would come out from behind those curtains, a church strong enough to evangelize the West. Mm-hmm. And this was rather a shocking word to us, especially from the United States.
Well, Bishop Ginder, we'd like just a closing word concerning your own conversion. Just how were you led to Christ?
I'm very glad you asked me that, Ray. That's a personal word, and I appreciate this. I was a 9-year-old boy. My father spoke to me about giving my heart to the Lord, and I said, if I get to the revival meeting tonight, I will do this. My father smiled and said, well, son, you don't need to wait till you get to the revival meeting to be saved. You can be saved in family worship this morning. Mm-hmm. And so I was converted in family worship.
Fine. Saved right in your own home.
Right in my own home.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Bishop Henry Ginder of Mannheim, Pennsylvania.
Here again is your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
The cheating scandal which has rocked the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs is another sign of the times in which we live. The second such scandal in 2 years, you would have thought that these cadets would have learned their lesson that it doesn't pay to be dishonest. As Abe Lincoln emphasized, honesty is the best policy. Sociologist Will Durant once observed that we're in a revolt in all areas of our society. In the field of art, we've seen this revolt. This past week in Lansing, Michigan, a painting was judged. The artist awarded his prize. The artist, incidentally, was 5 years of age. And his painting, well, it was sophisticated, genuine, and fresh, noted the judge. In the realm of music, we've seen this departure. The beat of jungle rhythm sung by off-tune singers finds Professor Sorokin of Harvard classifying the tunes of our day as lusty and perverse. And Dr. Jules Masserman of Northwestern calls today's music primitive. In the field of literature, we're engrossed in an avalanche of obscenity. In education, this revolt is expressed in a denial of a creator and the acceptance of a theory of evolution. Perhaps more noticeably, we have seen this revolution in the field of social behavior, the increasing divorce rate, juvenile delinquency, general lawlessness. The outstanding religious publication Christianity Today observes in the March 3rd edition, sexual morality, which at all times has been the surest indicator of the moral standards of a civilization, has in America as well as in Western Europe sunk far below the levels of Russia and Red China to that of the Greek and Roman civilizations in their stages of complete disintegration. Did you hear it? The magazine goes on to point out, this is not the subjective impressions of a few malcontent churchmen, reactionary politicians, and romantic laudatoris temporis acti. It is the substantiated verdict of well-informed sociologists, historians, jurists, economists, medical scholars, men with a worldwide outlook and experience in all countries of the Western world. Then this publication goes on to say, concern for our nations, for our children and grandchildren, and the unborn generations who will curse us, makes it imperative for us to re-examine the very foundations of our civilizations. And that foundation that has made this nation great has been its faith in God, its moral integrity, its established honesty, its zeal for the truth, its belief in the right. There are fundamental principles that do not change. As expressed in Scripture, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. While on the other hand, the wicked shall be cast into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Yes, it's time we wake up to realize that if we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. While if we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. My friends, revival must come if America is to be spared judgment. Men must turn from their sins to Christ if they would find redemption. Isaiah's description of the nation of Israel in his day parallels that of our nation today. He sees his beloved land gripped by a malady we call sin. And like a doctor diagnosing his patient, he describes the plight of the people in these words, the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. The prophet goes on to lament, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, notes Isaiah. Then he offers the only remedy by saying, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Hear me, this is what God is saying to us today. If we will repent, there is still salvation to those who will accept his mercy, his promise of forgiveness, his offer of grace. God goes on to say, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well. Ah, that's it, it's more than turning over a new leaf, it's a new life, made clean by Christ himself. For the Bible says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Did you hear it? All sin, cleansed, forgiven, washed away, when you ask Christ to save you, to come into your heart and life by his Spirit. Again, it is written, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Why not take God at his word and let this happen to you? You can be changed, a new creature in Christ. You can be different, with different goals than you now have, which will lead only to death and destruction unless you turn your life unreservedly over to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. You can have this life, this joy, this peace, as you surrender wholly and entirely and totally to the love of Christ, and then live a rigorous life of purity and holy living. Well, Francis J. Gilchrist, a Roman Catholic priest who addressed the blue uniformed cadets at the Air Force Academy, called attention to the conflict in Vietnam to ask these boys, can you imagine the frustration of a commander who knows that his officers are not men of integrity? The cadets' code of honor, which they agreed to sign, states, we will not lie, cheat, or steal, nor tolerate among us those who do. It is when Christ comes into our hearts by his Spirit that we are unable to keep such moral laws or codes or commandments which honor God. This is why we preach Christ and his gospel, believing it is still the power of God unto salvation to all who will believe. And so we would urge you today to receive Christ in a definite personal way. Bow your head and pray, inviting him to save you, forgive you of your sins, give you victory over your temptations. Then every day by praying, by reading your Bible, you can have the help that comes from God's Holy Spirit to live the life that really counts, that life more abundant. And as the Scriptures urge us to a life of holiness, even so we would quote our Lord himself, who in view of his soon return urged us, saying, be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the Internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.